Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 28, 2020. Medium published my new article. I am genuinely afraid. The economy may be reopening, but not as it should be. Irresponsible ignition of economic and commercial activities will bear such consequences that will make us regret not waiting a little longer in the first round. We are living in an integral reality that has a natural balance. When the balance is breached, the system pushes itself back to balance, much like a pendulum that returns to the middle with greater force the more you pull it to one side. Humans have pushed the global ecosystem so far off balance that now it has to strike back a painful blow in order to resume the balance. As long as we refuse to understand this mechanism, we will continue to suffer blows every time nature balances itself. At the moment, we are far from understanding this and far from balance. We were waiting for the moment when we came out of the lockdown so we could keep pushing nature. But the result will be that nature's next pushback will be much stronger and much more painful. Eventually, we will learn. The only question is how much we will have to suffer until we realize that we will not win by thinking only me, me, me. The more we developed technology, the more we behaved like senseless children in a toy shop with no one to tell us what we are allowed to buy and what's too expensive. But you can't leave the shop without going through the cashier, and the cashier will make us pay for everything we took. Sure, we have to reignite commerce and provide people with what they need. But we are not thinking only about getting what we need. We want to compete once more in who's got more, who is richer, and who is more successful. But competition didn't make us happy the first time, so why go back to it? Worse yet, this is exactly what caused the outburst of the virus, our self-centered behavior. So what sense is there in re-embracing the conduct that inflicted a disaster on us? Can we doubt that another disaster, probably much worse, will follow? If we reignite only those parts of the economy that sustain us, that guarantee our livelihood, while dedicating the rest of our time, resources, and efforts to establishing better connections among us, we will all be happy. We won't need any accessories to brag about, and we won't need to compete with anyone because we will feel worthy just being who we are. We will be appreciated for contributing our skills to the common good, and the gratitude and warmth from people will fill us to the brim with happiness. Have you ever walked into a room where everyone liked you and thought well of you? Do a little thought exercise and try to imagine this. Now do another exercise and imagine that as soon as you walk out to the street, everyone treats you with that kind of warmth and care. In such a society, the most required profession will be instructors and teachers to guide people into that type of mindset. With such a mindset, the cohesion and solidarity in society will make welfare services redundant. People will take care of each other, just as it should be. Think of army elite units. They know that in battle, their lives depend on their unity. We are in a battle now. We have already realized that we are all dependent on each other's responsibility. If we forego the mutual responsibility we have acquired in this battle and return to our dog-eat-dog mindset, we stand no chance against the next virus, or whatever blow nature will send us next. I am genuinely afraid for humanity. The virus was a mild lesson, the next one could be devastating. My article in Newsmax, The Teachings of a Global Epidemic. The world is eagerly trying to get back to its feet. It is clear that people need to secure their livelihoods, put food on their tables, and get back to business. But I wonder, have we learned the lessons the coronavirus crisis tried to teach us? What if the pandemic has yet to fulfill its goal of spurring us toward the creation of a more balanced society? Gradually, some stores and services are reopening in the United States and around the world. An apparent normalcy is being restored, and everyone seems to be content with our renewed desire to return to our usual egoistic approach toward self-benefit and exploitation of the ecosystem that brought us to this peril to begin with. Or maybe not? It will be interesting to see if we emerge from this forced pause any wiser, more conscious of the system in which we live and willing to do something to restore the lost balance in our relations toward others and our surrounding environment. If we return to the business as usual mode without any commitment for a substantial change in our behavior, no one will be able to guarantee that a bigger disaster will not hit us. It is imperative that we internalize the fact that we live in an integral environment. All of nature is one closed system, alive, breathing, but wounded because of our human ego, the sole factor which disrupts the overall functioning of the integral system of nature, bringing forth such plagues as the coronavirus. I wonder, where are the international organizations such as the United Nations and outspoken environmental champions raising their voices and demanding a more conscious humanity before the world eases restrictions of movement and reopens the economy? We must hold ourselves accountable for our abuse of the world's resources and our reckless attitude toward each other. But most importantly, we must realize that returning to the pre-COVID-19 world unchanged would be a recipe for disaster. Back to basics, not back to crisis. We cannot realistically expect to return to our ongoing exploitation of the planet, which pollutes, depletes, and will eventually bring about the total destruction to the ecosystem. Likewise, we cannot revert to the same old dysfunctional patterns of society and harmful human relations among couples, families, children and co-workers. The old paradigm of greed, perversion, corruption and lack of empathy cannot define our reality any longer. Clearly, no one wants to live in lockdown forever, but I hope that we have taken full advantage of the global halt to realize that life as it was had become unsustainable and to gain awareness of the conclusions we must draw about which endeavors are truly indispensable for society and which are superfluous. Nature demonstrates the correct way. It functions integrally, as a unified whole, where all its parts take only what is essential in order to maintain the correct performance of the entire system. The global epidemic froze the world, not to put an end to our development, but to lead us in the right direction and to broaden our view. A more friendly and harmonious attitude toward others and toward nature will shift our previous reality of total loss and transform it into total gain, taking us to a balanced world. What would be the point of ever looking back, when we can decide to build a promising future together? Kabbalistic meditation. Question: is there meditation in Kabbalah? They say that it is a series of exercises based on focusing sometimes on some inner desire and sometimes even on an external object. Answer: meditation is prayer. Question: are meditation and prayer the same in Kabbalah? Answer: of course. What is meditation? It is an in-depth focus of attention, checking yourself, determining where you are regarding a certain property, and so on. It is the same as prayer. In practice, there is nothing but prayer. The correct preparation for prayer is when you definitely feel your condition, feel the higher force, understand what the relationship between you is, and what you have to do to get closer to it. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 1, 2019. How I O increase sensitivity between friends. Question: how can we increase sensitivity between friends in the 10? Answer: only with the right interrelations, because you and your friends are in ever-changing, very complex relationships. Try to bring these states to the correct, mutual, and complete unification. Rise above your egoism, include your friends in your embrace, and help them despite all the problems, and the problems are interesting, permanent, and ruthless, you will start from two mutually opposite states of absolute mutual separation, even hatred, and a state of love, attraction, and will build all kinds of bridges between yourselves. A network of connections will gradually be interwoven from this, a spiritual vessel, then the Creator will appear. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. Period of Wondering, Part 9. Chosen by God and the Roots of Antisemitism. Question. As soon as Jews begin to settle into life in any country, their development goes through four periods. First, there is prosperity, then there is hatred toward them from the side of local residents, then physical destruction and exile. Is this how nature mixes all the nations? Answer, no. This is how nature helps all nations, through the Jews, to become sensitive to the process of spiritual globalization. It is in this way that we can ultimately reach a state where we truly become one common whole and all the peoples of the world will be internally completely interconnected. This is considered as being a light to the nations of the world. Question: Is this what it means to be chosen by God? Answer: Yes. God's chosen people are to become the light for the nations of the world, to tell them that connection over egoism is humanity's common goal so that we will achieve perfection and shift to another state of existence. While we fail to do so, we see such an irrational attitude toward Jews around the world. Remark: Of course, one can disagree that anti-Semitism is a law of nature. But one cannot disagree with the fact that this is a mysterious and irrational phenomenon. No matter how many innovations Jewish people tried to give to other nations in the fields of medicine, astronautics, the internet, Google, Facebook, etc., nothing changes. My comment: this will not help. Jews gave the world, naturally, much more than any nations that are tens or even hundreds of times more in quantity. This is not the case. The fact is that disgust, hostility, and hatred of these people comes from a spiritual principle. We must, as a chosen nation, show people that our quality of being chosen is in our positive connection, and teach others to do so. And they are ready to accept it, if only we wish to teach them. Question: Do the roots of anti-Semitism rest in the fact that the Jews do not fulfill their mission, do not transfer the methodology of connection to other nations? People who hear this may disagree with us. Answer: It does not matter. The main thing is what they hear. Then they will see it in life. Question: I would not agree if it were not mentioned in many sources. Maybe people interpret them differently? Answer: It does not matter how it is interpreted, the main thing is that nature still does everything as it should. From CabTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, July 15, 2019. New Life 1218. Coronavirus, What God Wants.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about something that bothers many people. Join us. I'm sure that we will have an excellent show. Dr. Lightman, look, I want to talk to you about God and the corona. There are many questions about God and this story. Why is he not helping us with the corona? I mean, God can do everything. So suddenly we have this problem, and it seems that God's indifferent. People are ill, people die, people feel sorrow. It's a real problem, really, that is attacking us from all sides. I can't even explain. And as if God went asleep, why does he not help us with the corona? What's up with God? As it says that the Creator dwells in his place of holiness. This is what it says in the writings. I don't exactly understand your attitude toward that. Elohim, God in Hebrew, in Gematria, and its numerical value, is nature. So, whether you call it nature or God, it's one and the same. And God, or nature, is the system of nature, but not only the nature of our world that we're familiar with, the still vegetative animate and people, but also the higher system of nature. And therefore we have to relate to him as to a system, like a machine, that even though that it's filled with emotions and intellect like we are, but still, all in all, it is a system that we can influence if we know how, and get a response, new responses from it if we know how. And this is how we will relate to the system. Therefore, what are you demanding here? I hear people crying out to God. It's really like little children that are punching a ball, punching the ball that broke the window. Something like that. How can you? The only one that can change his behavior is man himself and only. And God is the whole of nature. The whole of nature that behaves according to absolute laws. That from beginning to end, there's a plan, and it is impossible to change this plan, but it has to be realized as is. You're saying that the corona was a part of God's plan? Undoubtedly. And there are many such blows, if you can call them blows, in nature. And we're the only ones who have choice. If we will behave not exactly being directed toward the purpose of our development, the purpose of creation, then we will feel a response from nature that will force us to change in order to reach a state determined by nature as the goal. Since I was a child, I was sure that God is good, that people are bad. That's for sure. You see it everywhere. I don't know why, but that's how they are. They're also good, but sometimes there is something really bad about them. But God, he's not a human being. So I was sure that God is good. Where do you exactly see that? Look, for example, I come from a farm. I grew up on a farm. And I really, really like being in nature. You walk around in nature. You go into an orchard. You see, everything is, I don't even know how to describe it. Everything's perfect. Everything's so, we don't have the words to even explain this beauty and perfection made by God. So there's something so beautiful about him. On the other hand, you're saying, how is it that now that life became such a big problem? Why doesn't God help? When will he help? Because it depends on people. What's the question? It depends on people, and then what follows is that you have corrupted the world. What do you want from it? What do you want from the system of nature? The system of nature, that there's nothing about it. It's just one big computer that have choice are inserting incorrect information into it. So what do you get? A bad response. And who do you blame? Of course, not yourself. Who am I? What am I? What do you want from me? You're blaming God. It's very foolish. I don't understand what's foolish here. That you are punishing God. That I'm blaming him? Yeah? You're blaming him, of course. Why is he to blame? I don't know if he's to blame. I'd simply like for him to come and help a bit quicker. It seems that he's not coming to help us. Because he's doing this evil only as a response. He's doing this bad only as a response to your bad actions. What is it that we have done that he brought the corona upon us? That we're not connecting? We're not connecting. Instead of connect, what does it mean to connect? To connect between us means to be together, friendly toward each other, taking each other into consideration. Like you tell your children. You have a good example. I know your sons. They're really Esau and Jacob. So, for them to be good kids, to behave nicely, properly, that they can enjoy. No, they don't want to. You see, man's inclination is evil from the start. And therefore, this is what happens. And we don't want to resist our own evil inclination. In everything, we want to encourage it. And this reality in which you say that people do not take each other into consideration, that if we think about this, you're right. There's less and less consideration between people. So I want to understand, how does this law work? You said that God is a system of absolute laws. The system of absolute laws, it doesn't like us not taking each other into consideration. It pays attention to how I treat you now in a good or bad way. What? We are inside this system. It's a system, you understand? It's a mechanism. And if each of us does not correctly do act in relation to the entire system, these corruptions, these deviations, they accumulate and give a bad result. But it's not that they're bad, but these results, they accumulate and then they give a response that comes in a way to correct us. Therefore, the coronavirus that's coming now is coming to correct us, undoubtedly. What exactly does it come to correct? In the meantime, it seems that it only corrupts. What does God want us to correct? For us to first of all understand the system and know how to connect with each other. I hear many theories and different thoughts that people have from different religions that they're naming different reasons for the corona. Many people think that it's because God is angry at people, and they have different explanations why is he angry and so on, and what do people have to do in order for God to take this blow away. There is no such thing as God being angry or crossed with you. It's simply that the Torah speaks in the language of human beings, but the upper force has no anger. He's above all of these things. The system in advance knows what's supposed to happen. Previously he said that he sent us the corona because we're not taking each other into consideration, not treating each other favorably, in order to teach us how to better understand the system and arrange ourselves and be integrally connected to the system. How do we know for sure that this is the reason for which the corona came? Because people did not take each other into consideration. How do we know that this is the reason? The diagnosis is no less important than the cure. So how do we know that the diagnosis that corona came from God because we're not taking each other into consideration enough is the exact point? Very simple. We see nature as an integral system that is entirely connected on all sides and all of its interconnections. The system is entirely interconnected. And if there is some kind of free element in it that can push it out of the true, correct, complete connection, it's only man that has free choice, who has an evil inclination. And this person has to balance himself out in a good relationship. And if he doesn't do it, then there are different errors, incorrect responses that accumulate, his incorrect responses to the system, and the system reacts. It's filled more and more with the deviations that people put into it, and then it responds. And its response is directly aimed at those problems that man wanted to insert into it. And is exactly, its response is exactly directed in order to correct man. When a person treats another person poorly, he corrupts the entire big system of nature? Of course. But it's only in relation to another person. How is it related to the system of nature? No such thing. We are in a system which is entirely global, integral, and we can't do anything so that this system will not influence the entire system. If I could talk to God and I'd ask him, God, say, what do you want from us with the corona and everything? What would he tell me? Be correctly connected with one another. Next question then. How? Can I talk to him? That you're talking now, you're talking to him. What, he's hearing my questions now. What you feel in your mind and heart, this is exactly that you're talking to him. But it's what I feel. How do I know that he's hearing me, God? This is a different question. If you want to know how he can hear you and maybe how he responds, you have to build inside of you a system like he built. What kind of a system is it? It is the system of bestowal. Oh, what is that? That you want to influence, that you want to bestow onto others and onto the upper force in return, just like he bestows to everyone and to the entire system that he has created and to you too. What does this word to bestow, what does it mean? To its benefit. To the benefit of the general system. To the benefit of Owen Levy. So inside myself, I have to build a system of the desire to bestow. Yes? If I'll build it, you mean inside my heart, right? Yeah. The desire to be good, to bestow, to whom exactly? To everyone. People, the still vegetative, the animate, everyone. And if I will be able to do this, then from that system that you have correctly installed, you will start feeling what God is. And then I'll be able to talk to him. Yeah, it's your system. Yeah, but I want to talk to God. Exactly. You will feel that he is inside of you. Inside the system? Yeah? What will I feel? Like with a friend. Much closer. I'll be able to ask him something. Exactly about everything. He'll answer for sure and immediately. How will I know that he's the one that's answering? Because he'll feel it. In a way that there's no doubt. It says that homes for the mentally ill are full of people that talk to God. Yeah, I studied this in the university. Now, you seem completely sane. Yeah, but I have, nerves. You said that if a person wants to talk to God, he has to build a system that will be like God, and then from that system he can connect to Him. Otherwise, how can you understand Him if you don't have the same system as He has? You can understand Him on condition that you have the same qualities, the same forms of thinking, the same feelings that the general system called God has. Okay, you said that the desire to benefit others. So you're actually saying that God is good, that He wants to do good. Don't you see that that's what He's doing? So this is my question. I see that sometimes He does good, and sometimes, you know, He has deviations. No. Anyone who blames does it because of his own flaws. You simply don't understand them. It's like your children in relation to you. You know that you're right, but they simply don't understand you correctly. So God always does good, and that I feel this sometimes as bad, it's because I don't understand how He perceives the good, how He grasps it, or our development in the direction of good. Yeah. Practical question, from heart to heart. I understand everything that we talked about up until now on a certain level. Of course, I don't understand everything that you said, but practical question, Dr. Lightman. When will God finish the Corona story? He brought it, take it back. God forbid, no, just not that. He should finish this story. Take it to the end. As many years as, I don't understand your answer. What does it mean that He will finish it? The Corona came in order to heal society from its excessive ego, from its cruelty, from criticism, hate, everything that we have toward each other. That this way, as it says, it's better to die than live this way. And therefore we have to understand that the Corona is reaching us in the best possible way. You're not relating to your children with the same love that the Creator treats us. Really, look what He's doing. All in all, a few people die. And also, how do you know that death is something bad? That's another question, but suppose. And then we have to understand that Corona comes in order to cure us of our ego. See what we did in the world. How many people die because of us every day on this planet? How many people are ill? How many people suffer? How many people die of starvation? How many people suffer injustice and problems? What do we have here? We already brought society to a third world war. That who knows what will be left after this? We will not be able to bend our ego in any way. So the Corona, it comes now and it softens everything. This virus softens everything. It says, sit at home. I'm not going to allow you to develop in a bad way anymore like you did all this time until you will get the correct understanding of how you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to evolve, how you're supposed to be correctly connected with one another. I'm not going to allow you to leave, and whoever's going to leave, he's going to die. Not because of police or something, but because of me. It's an educational act on part of the upper force, what he's doing to us. Until we will learn the spiritual laws of the whole and complete system of how to relate to each other as God does, as nature does, in a very business-like fashion. If we don't do this, we will not come out of this crisis. The Corona is really a crown. It will teach us, and I really hope that this is how it's going to be, it will teach us how to live in the new world. What does it mean to treat each other like God does? equally in justice and integrity. Dr. Lightman, what request should we ask of God in the times of Corona? To understand them? To understand them. Yeah. Okay, and what kind of help can we ask for in these times of distress? The Corona, it's like a multi-problem that attacks us on all fronts, from health to livelihood, businesses. It's a multi, of course, it's the life that we have arranged for ourselves, a life that is useless. So what kind of help can we receive from God? What kind of help can we get from Him now for this problem? That we will see life in a new way, our attitude, philosophy, approach to life, everything, the process, but especially the creating force in us. Why is it making us so bad, developing us to be such egoists? How can we deal with it? How, by treating it correctly, can we get out of it all? How can we better understand nature and its goal and everything? For us, all of these things are opening up now. So this is exactly the question. If God made people bad, then why does He come with His accusations now? He made them bad. He's not coming with any accusations. He's only teaching us. As it says, I have created the evil inclination, and I have created the Torah spice. What is the Torah? The Torah is the reforming light. It means the reforming light, that there is a positive force in nature that we can draw, and for it to deal with the negative force that the Creator created, and the negative force is also the Creator. We have two forces that come from one root, and we need these two forces. We need to balance them out between us. And to live, as it says, that you shall be for me as God that knows good and bad. Another question. This virus, the corona. So we understand that God sent it to people because they don't take each other into consideration, for them to learn how to take each other into consideration. How does this coronavirus that went on a mission and really smashed us, how will the virus know when to stop? Mister, because it's a system. It is a system that all the time lives and is round and is connected from beginning to end, end to beginning. It is all the time mutually connected. And therefore, once we change our behavior, it immediately changes the system too, the general system. And then accordingly, we calm down. It influences us precisely the way we influence it. But the virus, not God. God sent the virus, this I understand. But how does the virus itself know when did it finish its mission? It's completely operated, activated. You're looking at this system in a very... as if He sent it, and that's it, you know, manage. It's an integrally connected system with the virus and everything else in it, and therefore once you change your response to the virus on the social level, even though that the virus is influencing you biologically, on the biological level, your response on the social level influences the entire system. And then the form of the virus on the biological level also changes. I'll think about this. Final question. Were I to tell you, Dr. Lightman, look, suppose that all people all over the world, from all nations, religions, everyone wants to pray together to God for Him to heal the corona. What should the prayer exactly be? Mind and heart. This is what we need in order to understand the Creator's actions on us. And this is what we have to ask for. Give us the mind and the heart to understand this. For us to be able to understand you and to keep your laws. Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, we wish you all the best and good luck.